At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 628. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me is Paris, my co-host of Gamertag Radio. What's going on, Paris?
Yeah, what's going on, brother?
Good, man. Just got back last night from my trip. I was in San Francisco. Dude, I am so tired.
Exhausted. My God. So should we tell the story about that real quick?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I was supposed to be in San Francisco, too, and we'll talk about why, I guess, what, next week or something, or this week, whatever. But
this week, later this week, yeah.
But I was supposed to be there, too. I'm literally in my car. Now, I live in Southern California in San Diego, right? So there's just been ridiculous rain the last week or so. But specifically on Friday, it was like the storm of the century for us. I'm sure other people will laugh at it, right? But there's just a ton of rain. And I'm driving to the airport, so I always like to get there early. So I'm driving. All of a sudden, I get an alert. My flight's canceled because of the rain. Because that's just how ridiculous it is here in San Diego. They can't fly with rain. So they canceled my flight. And the next flight I was going to be able to get up to San Francisco would have got me up there too late. So I wound up just scrapping the whole thing and staying home. So I didn't get a chance to go. But Danny, I'm glad you got to go. Hope you had a good time.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we could say what it is. I just can't say what was going on in there. But yeah, we went again. It's Ghost Recon, Wildlands event, so we'll talk more about that later this week. But overall, like, I had a great time because I haven't been to San Francisco in a so long time that I had a chance to hang out with a couple of friends. That was the best part, just seeing everybody, you know. It was a lot of fun. But I got to visit Stitcher, their headquarters over in San Francisco. Got to hang out with Vanessa and the crew, Todd, everybody over there. Shout out to them. Also, I went to IGN to visit Esme, and I was trying to look for Ryan, but I couldn't find him. He was away from his desk. Who else I got to see? Diana. She's now works at Deep Silver, so I got to hang out with her too. It was a lot of fun, man.
So I got a lot of fun. I got a question. Again, I didn't get to go. I was dying to know to answer this question. IGN, how big are their offices? Small, tiny, medium?
It's pretty big.
Pretty big.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Pretty big. I mean compared to my office, I think what I work at Discovery is way bigger because it's like multiple floors. I don't know how many floors they have. I think they only have like one. I'm not sure, but it's actually pretty big, man. It had like all kinds of stuff. Like each room was like conference rooms. It was based on the game, so like one was like the portal room and so on, like that. It was cool. It was actually a lot of fun.
That's cool. It's good.
So yeah, I think when I was there, Ryan was recording his podcast. So I think that's the reason why we couldn't find him. He was busy recording an episode and stuff, Xbox Unlocked. So, all right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions.
Yo,
Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Paris, we have a lot of fan mail questions, and I think we should do fan mail. So you ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, we have a lot of questions here. Pete is not here. He's going to be joining us hopefully later this week. But I'm going to start. We have a lot of emails that we haven't had the time to read it on a podcast. So I'm going to go back to December. This is from Eve, all the way from Boston. He's a listener from 2013. I hope you all had a wonderful holidays and happy new year. I got two requests. Seeing how your fan base is rapidly growing, a lot of new listeners may not know much about you guys. And what better way to start the new year than to discuss your backgrounds a little? Also, can you guys name a few gaming ideas, trends, or features you will hope to see in 2017? For me, I wish to see the Scorpio get features no other console has ever seen, aside from 4K. All right, so let's start with number one. Paris, I think she go answer number one first. I'll answer after you.
What's number one exactly? He asked a few
Like an introduction about yourself, like a background, you know. Just a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. I'm an angry, grumpy black man from St. Petersburg, Florida. And my background, just career wise, I do network security from my day job. I've lived out here in Southern California now, 20 years, something like that. Been married 20 years and got three kids. And you and Chris Palladino are the two influences that got me into podcasting back in 2006 when I did my own podcast called Uncle Gamer Radio. Did that for a while. My longtime partner, he moved on to the gaming industry. So I stopped podcasting because I'm like, hey, if I can't have fun with it, I don't want to do it by myself. I'm just going to retire and be done. But, you know, you and I and Pete and Mandy and everyone, we'd been friends forever, you know, even before that. And then you guys reached out to me when BioShock Infinite came out, and I came on the podcast just to talk about that game. People really liked it. You know, we kept talking, blah, blah, blah. And then Pete hits me up that crazy story I told, and I joined Gamertag Radio full time. And later that year in 2013, I've been here ever since.
Yeah. And hopefully Pete can answer that question when he comes back on Thursday. For me, I've been, you know, into the whole internet radio since 2001. That was when Dreamcast, Phantasy Star Online, everything was going on. And at that same year, GameCube was about to launch and Xbox, the original Xbox was about to launch. So that's why I was recording, always attending events in New York City and stuff. So then I took a break. Years later, in 2005, I decided to launch Gamertag Radio. So we're going to be turning now 12 years to be exact on February 25th, 2017. That's crazy, Paris. 12 years.
I know, it's nuts.
So right now, my full-time job, I work at Discovery Channel for Latin America. I've been there now for 15 years. So my parents are Dominican. And for those that don't know, I used to live in Dominican Republic for about 4 years or so. I used to go there a lot during the summer with my family and stuff. But when I lived in Dominican Republic, I opened a store where it was like a place for people to come and play video games. They'll pay me like $5 or $10 and I'll let them play my Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis. It had multiple TVs, multiple controllers, a lot of games, and kids, even old men will go and play like Bases Loaded for the Nintendo, NBA Jam on Super Nintendo. Mortal Kombat 2 was like a popular game at that time. Street Fighter 2 and so on. So yeah, that's I was very passionate to like create a little business out of the whole video game stuff, man. So and look at me now, man, you know, doing Gamertag Radio years later with the whole crew, with Paris and Pete. And it's been a great, great time, man. You know, so I mean, we could do a whole episode just about us, like an introduction and everything. Well, you know?
If I could suggest something, and I can't remember the episode number now, but remember when we did the thing at the studio in L.A. where
Podcast
yeah,
Junkies.
Yeah, if we could find that episode number, maybe post it somewhere, people could go check that out and listen to that. I mean, that's the three of us. And that was like the first time we had truly, because we never like just sat down and talked like that before, because there was never really a reason. But that was a great episode, because, you know, we really got very personal and kind of opened up about our relationship between the three of us and everything. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, yeah. So make sure to check that out. So that episode was a lot of fun to record, man. So shout out to Harry at Podcast Junkies. All right, so the number two question, Paris, what gaming ideas, trends, or features you hope to see in 2017?
I'd like to see more just with the open world co-op scenarios. I want to see more open world games with that are these shared universes amongst a pool of people. And, you know, obviously I talk about Destiny all the time, but taking that initial concept with Destiny and expanding on it. I know people are like, well, hey, Paris, that's an MMO, you know, RPG. Of course it is. But we don't see enough of that on the console side. And obviously we've not seen that where it's a shared universe, you know, with being a first person shooter and just all the different things that you could do. So I want to see more of that. I want to see the next logical step from the Destinies and the Divisions of the world. I hope some type of game like that gets announced this year and we see that. That's what I'm looking forward to this year.
Yeah, man. Hopefully we'll see an announcement of the next Destiny Paris. Hopefully this year.
I would say there's a 90% chance that Destiny 2 is this year, unless it gets delayed for whatever reason. I don't see why there wouldn't be. And that's kind of my point. Destiny 2 needs to be a drastic upgrade from what we got with Destiny 1. Because look, as much as I played it and as many hours as I sunk into that game, I'm pretty much done with it at this point. There's not much you can do with that formula. So they need to upgrade it. If Destiny 2 is just, hey, we got a couple new worlds and a couple new raids, that's not enough. They got to transcend. They got to step up their game, and I think they are. I think that's what Bungie and Activision is trying to do. So I'm excited to see what it's going to be, but it has some big shoes to live up to, in my opinion.
Well, I'm going to go back to 2013, around early February. I believe it was like February 16, 17, around there. Bungie officially announced the original project, Destiny, at that time. Is it possible that we might see a big announcement from them right before GDC? I think that was a great time for them to announce there's nothing really going on right now besides the Switch. And then show us more during E3 and so on, you know? So I think that would be a great move if they managed to do that.
Yeah, I think if Bungie's smart, because they're going to have a spring update with the live team, you know, some additional content's going to come this spring for Destiny 1. Okay. That would be a great time to just go ahead and say, all right, here's some additional content for you, but we have our eyes towards the future. We'll talk about it more at E3, but here's a few concepts. Like, just go ahead and do the unveil. Like, look, you guys know what's coming. We know what's coming. Put it out there. We'll talk more at E3. That's all they got to do. So it makes sense for them to start talking about a little bit this spring and then have the full unveil at E3.
Totally agree.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have another email. This is from Marcus. Hey, guys, my name is Marcus. I'm on the fence about buying a Switch on launch. Paris, I get it. That being said, I will eventually get one. My question is, do you think they will ever have a Pokemon game for the Switch? I realize that Pokemon is usually a mobile-type game, but given that the Switch has a mobile platform built in, it seems like a no-brainer. Thoughts?
No, you're 100% accurate. It is a no-brainer. I'm actually shocked they didn't have something Pokemon related at launch, to be honest with you, or at least in the reveal say that, hey, we got something Pokemon related coming in 2017, because you need to cash in on the fact of everything that's going on with Pokemon Go. And like you said, it's the perfect game for if they're going to do this home console, you know, and you could take it on the go thing and there's going to be some kind of online component to it. It's the perfect platform for it. So I'm actually surprised we've not heard anything already. But yeah, we know it's coming for sure.
All right. Here's a prediction. Miss Leo, please start off, please.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Now, I can usually tell you things about your future by using the power of my tarot cards. But when it comes to video games, only the guys at Gamertag Radio can give you predictions. You hear me?
All right. Thank you, Miss Leo. I've been thinking a lot ever since we have that recorded an interview with Michael Pachter last week. And he said that he liked the launch titles, the launch window for the first year. And I think that Nintendo will announce more games during E3. If you go back to the Nintendo Wii U, like the past maybe 2 years, maybe three, every month by the close to the holidays, there are at least one exclusive game that's launching. So let's say like August, there's one. September, there's another one. October, there's another one. And they'll save the big one for November, and that's it. I think that we might see two more titles that hasn't been announced yet that's going to be released during holiday season. And Nintendo might announce it during their press conference or Nintendo Direct during E3. Maybe Beyond Good and Evil 2, an exclusive that we've been hearing this for a while now. They've just been keeping it on the low. So we'll see something. Maybe they'll announce some games for next year, like Metroid, during Nintendo Direct. They probably announced that there too. And I think they even might announce a new Pokemon game, which this is the rumor that they Nintendo ported that game from the last Nintendo, the last game that came out for the 3DS of Pokemon. That is also going to be available for the Switch. The same exact name, but the same exact game, but the only difference is it's going to have a lot of new features that's not available on the 3DS. I think that's possible too. So, and it's easy for them because that game has already been out on the 3DS and they could just hype the crowd up. It's available on the Switch, and there's a lot of people that don't have the 3DS and they will buy the Switch version right away. Your thoughts, Paris?
I don't agree with you, but let's continue.
Okay. All right.
Here's why.
Why?
Because you're basing a lot of this on hopes. Hopes and dreams.
No. This is not hope, Paris.
How is it not?
It's not hope, man. Because the thing is, I think that the amount of games they announced now for the launch, by the Nintendo Switch, that's for the hardcore audience. Hardcore, you know, Nintendo fans are always going to buy no matter what. But I think by them announcing a big game that's coming out as a surprise for this year on the Switch, that is going to open the doors for more people to buy, not only the hardcore, but also those that are fans of Nintendo, but they're kind of waiting to see if they're going to have something else for this year. They could do that, man. I could see that big time, you know? So
Nintendo's track record has said that's not what they're going to do.
All right.
And I'm basing it on history. I'm just basing it again. I'm basing it on history and I'm not basing it on hope. You're basing it on hope.
Okay. So if it happens, just shake my hand and say, Danny, you're right.
Okay, Battletoads.
There it is. All right, we're going to play this voicemail. This is from Keon. Keon, welcome back. Welcome back, Keon. Let's play his voicemail.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio crew? How's it going for you guys? Happy New Year to you. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just had just a few comments about the Switch, very briefly. I thought that the conference was okay. It had some okay moments in it. I am definitely interested in the Switch. The only, I guess, reserve I have for the system itself is, first off, you know, I'm a truck driver, so I'm gone a lot. And to have the option of playing an actual console game on the go in my truck, it's very, very appealing to me. I think that's a great concept within itself. But the only gripes questions that I have is, you know, for the third-party support. I understand that they showed several different third parties that were going to be supporting them, And we saw early on in the Wii U's life cycle that they did get some third-party support, but it dried up rather quickly. So I'm basically worried about the third party for the long term, because let's just be honest, Nintendo has not really supported the Wii U in the way that I think they should have. So I don't want to have to take the chance of waiting, you know, for other games to come out if it's just going to be Nintendo backing this console. And I think that's what a lot of other people are worried about the third-party support for. I understand people get Nintendo products for Nintendo stuff, but when Nintendo is not showing that they are fully 100% supporting their platform, you always have the third parties to fall back on. So I think if they can get third-party support, get that very strong in their stable, then I think overall they'll be okay. Thank you guys for the very, very hard work that you guys do week in, week out. And with that, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
See, Paris, like, he is in the same situation as you, but the only thing is, he's a truck driver. He's always out there, you know, working. He's always away from home. And you know, once he gets home, he's like, he can eventually sit down and play his Xbox or PlayStation and so on. But I think a product like this with the right games, this would be perfect for him, for someone that is always out. You know, as long as he has some form of like a charger, USB Type-C, that could get connected to the Switch. I think this is for him too, man. You know, it's okay not to buy it at launch. You could buy it later on, you know? So
Yeah. I mean, that's what I've been saying. I mean, I feel like, you know, there's not a need to buy this at launch. It's better, like, in my opinion, to wait it out, kind of see how everything shakes out. You know, like the fact that he's bringing up the whole third party support, which kind of leads into to one topic we want to talk about. You know, one of the developers from Respawn basically came out and laughed at third-party support on the Switch, you know, obviously saying, yeah, you're never going to see a Titanfall, you know, on the Switch. And actually, I had a good Facebook conversation going on over the weekend about this with a few people, because they were hardcore Nintendo fans. And I wasn't trying to be an a-hole about it. And I was trying to make sure that was clear, because that, hey, I'm a fan of Nintendo. But they're all just so excited about, now finally Nintendo's going to get all this third-party support on the Switch. And I'm like, look, man, their track record says that is not going to happen. And basically, kind of going along the lines of what Respawn is talking about, the dev from Respawn, here's the thing. And again, this is my opinion. I could be 1,000% wrong. But if you look at where the money is with the PC, the PlayStation, and the Xbox, right? That's where all your big AAA games are being developed for. So if EA, for example, decides they want to put Titanfall on the Switch, Respawn, you're going to have to give Respawn additional development resources to do that. Literally, you have to split off another team to make a specific game, or you're going to have to farm it out to another studio to make a specific Titanfall game for the Switch. It will not be the same game that you're going to see on the PC, the Xbox, or, you know, PlayStation. So if you're doing that, if these third-party publishers literally have to make specific teams to make third-party games for the Nintendo Switch, the next question is going to be, what's the return on investment for that? Is it worth them funding an additional team to make a game for the Switch? Is the user base big enough on the Switch to justify making this other development team to make a game for the Switch? That's the question that you have to ask. And we saw with the Wii U, their install base never got big enough to justify that. So we did not see third-party support. So what I think we're going to see early on, and again, my opinion, we'll see early on with third-party support for the Switch is, obviously you're going to see indie titles, because that'll be a lot easier to do. They're smaller games. But you're going to see a lot of ports. You're going to see a lot of older third-party games come to the Switch, because the resources will, you know, money that you're going to have to do that, it's going to be minimal to port a game over to the Switch versus new games like Mass Effect Andromeda. Do you really think you're going to see Mass Effect Andromeda on the Switch? No, you're not going to see
I don't think so.
You know what I mean? So this is my point. The newer AAA games you're not going to see. You're going to see ports for now. Now, if 2 years from now you have 20 million people that have a Switch in their hands, different conversation. But my point is, early on, these publishers are going to take a wait and see approach with the Switch. They're not going to invest the money early on into making the big AAA games. Like you mentioned, Beyond Good and Evil. Maybe that's something Ubisoft takes a risk with, brings it to the Switch, and then later on brings it to the other platforms. I see one-off instances like that, but you're not going to see across the board EA bringing all their titles. You're not going to see Bethesda bringing all their titles, etc., to the Switch. They're going to wait and see. You'll see one-off games and you'll see older ports, in my personal opinion. So that's where I think people need to caution themselves with the Switch. If you're getting it for Nintendo games, do it. That's what I'm going to do it for. I'm doing it for Nintendo games. If you're getting the Switch because you want Nintendo games and all these third-party experiences, you may wind up being disappointed. And that's the only thing I want people to be cautioned on.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And here's another thing I would like to add to. If, let's say, a company, a third-party company, release a game for the Nintendo Switch, and you're a fan of that console, then support your third parties and stop complaining. You know, all these people saying that, you know, oh, I'm gonna get this Nintendo Switch and so on, but then they complain when there's no third-party support. And the reason is a lot of people just don't buy third-party games on the, from Nintendo consoles and stuff. So if you like to see more support, buy these third-party games and just show them, like, look, there is an audience out there that would love to see more third-party games for the Switch. It's all up to you, man. So, all right, so we have another email. This is from Gary. Good morning, fellas. I know it is time of the year for our from January. Okay, I thought it was like from last year. I know it's that time of the year for our 2016 best of the list, and everyone is dumping them out, every outlet imaginable. There is one area, Hiro, that I feel that this is greatly neglected. The small publishers and indie games of Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, games such as Limbo, Firewatch. Firewatch was a lot of fun. Surprised a lot of people didn't talk about it. These and other games tend to slip by unnoticed throughout the gaming year. What is your opinion on some of the best hidden gems of the arcades of 2016? Thanks for all you do and keep up the good work. Gary from New Jersey. There's a lot of games. I think I mentioned a couple indie games during my Game of the Year episode.
Yeah, you did.
I mentioned a couple. My God, I can't remember. Well, Firewatch is a pretty good game. Limbo, pretty good game, but that's not from this year. That's an old game. I did mention. Oh my God, that game that came out. Oh, from EA Paris. From EA.
Unraveled.
Yes, Unraveled. That's another one. So, what hidden gems you played during 2016? Like any games? Or you just stick with the whole AAA stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Firewatch would be the one that stands out to me. But I didn't really get, you know, I play a lot of indie games, but they were older. They weren't like brand new for 2016. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if we want to take it back the year before, I mean, like Ori and the Blind Forest obviously was a big one. Like I said, this year was Firewatch. I mean, if I really want to take you back a few years, because I know I was talking about this when I first started being on GTR full time, is Rogue Legacy. That was a great platform. I love the concept of that game. It was really fun. If anything, I need to go back and start playing that again. Did I say Shovel Knight already? Shovel Knight obviously would be another Shovel big Knight. One. Yeah,
that's a good one.
I mean, yeah, we need to support our indie titles. And if anything, I don't think me personally, I've done a great job of that in the last year, really highlighting some of the indie games out there. So you know what? Let's table this till next episode or next week, next time we're all together to talk about it. Because, I want to do my research on this and look at some upcoming indie games and maybe some games that, you know, I personally missed from 2016 that we should go back and maybe play and start talking about.
So I agree. And the thing is, too, Paris, that, you know, there's a lot of games that came out for the PC, especially for Steam. There's a lot more indie games there. You know, you always play Steam. So that's a great area for us to check out. And also, you know, on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, there's a lot of indie games there too. So I'm going to do a research too over the weekend and talk about it.
Yeah, because another older one that I would mention, which was episodic, is Kentucky Route Zero. That was fantastic. And I got into that one late and started getting caught up on it. But that's fantastic as well. That's another one to check out. And then obviously, I guess you can, do we consider the Telltale Games indie? Do we? I don't know. Good. I mean, it's good. You know, it depends on your perception on that. But obviously, all the Telltale games, those are fantastic as well. And like I said, for me, Batman was probably my favorite game this year. You know, once I started binge, or 2016, once I started binge playing it, I guess you can say, and powered through all those episodes. And then you go back to something, obviously the Walking Dead series, and then Tales from the Borderlands is probably one of the best stories that they've done in that whole Telltale series. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff to check out on that as well. I know, and then I can't forget
Inside.
Yeah, that's another one too. Yep.
And I didn't mention about Superhot. That's a first-person shooter. That's for PC and Xbox. Great, great game. You should definitely check that one out.
And then, I was going to say the big elephant in the room, which it better come out in 2017, or I'm just going to give up on it, is Cuphead.
Oh my God, I've been waiting for that game for years, man.
Because the little bit that we've got, at like E3s and stuff that we've got to see it like up close, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for that. I think that's such a unique and fantastic looking game that I want it to come out. And I know they've changed some of the gameplay elements on it, but mm-hmm. which is why it's been delayed. But that thing needs to come out this year. It's time. It's definitely time.
It is time.
Hello, GTR crew. I've been listening to the podcast since you started releasing on Spotify, so I guess you could say I'm somewhat of a new listener. I have a lot of travel time in my car for my job. So do I. So the podcast helps me get through long commutes. It's been great. It's easy to see that everyone has a passion for the game. Okay, I read that right. Sorry. My question is this. Do any of you guys play any indie games? And if so, I'm curious why they're never mentioned on the show. For the most part, it seems like all of the games that you mentioned on the show are always a big budget AAA rated game. For example, in the past 10 episodes, you spoke about Destiny, Titanfall 2, Battlefield 1, Gears of War, and Forza, just to name a few. I'm not saying they're bad games, but those major releases are the only games that get mentioned. Maybe I'm in the minority on this subject, but in a media landscape where the big name games dominate, is that all caps coverage? I would much rather listen to someone talk about a lesser known game. I know I can't be the only person that has had truly great experiences playing indie games. Stuff like Faster Than Light, Inside, This War of Mine, Binding of Isaac.
Great game.
And can I finish reading it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So in the Binding of Isaac and Undertale. Now, as I said, I haven't been a listener since day one. So if games like these have been mentioned in past shows, forgive me and ignore my email. It's more of a curiosity than anything else. Anyway, keep up the good work and thanks for entertainment. Andrew from New York. So, Andrew, thank you for that. And as you've probably already just heard, yeah, we need to start talking about more indie games because, like, you bring up Faster Than Light. That was another big one from a few years ago. Matter of fact, I even started playing that one on the iPad, you know, for a little bit, and then I kind of fell off from it. And I've not played Binding of Isaac, and I've heard a lot of people talk about that game and say how great it is. I mean, even another indie game, which, you know, kind of came to consoles, I don't know, is it still considered indie, is The Witness. That's another one I need to go play. I haven't played that yet. You know, so, yeah, trust me. You're not the only one. I think we, you know, as a group, and I don't want to speak for Danny, but just my opinion, I think, yeah, we kind of get swept up sometimes in all the big games and forget to talk about the smaller games, despite the fact that we're actually playing them. You know what I mean? So we need to start talking about some of these indie games. And if anything, we probably should start reaching out to some of these indie developers, get them on the show so that they can talk about these games and get more exposure out there to people.
Yeah, that guy I did an interview a couple months ago with a developer from Cuba that he's creating an independent game, and he launched a Kickstarter campaign about the game, and it's called Savior. So go to episode 612, listen to the episode, and it was a great interview, man. It's only him and his partner, and that's it. That's all they have, man. There's only two people working on this game. So I also took my time and I put some money to their Kickstarter campaign. So I'm excited about that, you know. So I know that game is going to be available for the PC and Mac. Hopefully in the future, if they get a lot of support, we also might see, you know, for those consoles too. But here's another thing too. and believe later this week, I'm attending an event that there's going to be a lot of independent developers here in Miami, Florida. I believe in January 25th, I'm going to record interviews at this event. So hopefully that will help you guys to discover new games that's going to be available, you know, in the future for like Steam and stuff. So I'll keep you posted and give you more details about that later this week.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have a second voicemail. Remember, guys, we want you to send more questions. Send it to us, and we definitely will read it on the show. Let's play this voicemail.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag? It's Benny Corona calling back. I had left a previous voicemail that pretty much agreed with everybody else calling the Switch a portable Wii U. It's not that much more powerful, so that's why that analogy I'm thinking is out there. The $300 price tag, why? Why so expensive? Is it Nintendo being greedy, or maybe the battery that is supplied on the Switch is something on the level of more expensive that allows for multiple recharges beyond what we're traditionally accustomed to with portable devices like tablets and cell phones, where the battery is going to die and you're going to have to buy a new one, where in this case, for a console where people are not used to having to replace parts, suddenly Nintendo's come up with this battery from whatever company that says, no, this thing is going to go on and you don't have to replace it. As the charge, you know, as you recharge, it takes less time to recharge it, but it also has less charge for every recharge over a longer period of time. Just wanted to know what you guys have on that, and keep up the good work, man. Good to go.
All right. Once again, Nintendo Switch is not going away, Paris. This topic is going to stay until the launch of the Switch, yeah. Man. So, is it a portable Wii U?
Yes.
For you, maybe I don't say that way. Two reasons why. First of all, it's more powerful than the Wii U. I have a Wii U. Second, I think the concept of the Switch is a combination of everything, like 3DS, all the old consoles, and the Wii U combined into one. That my personal opinion. That's what I see the Switch. So I can't just say it's only a portable Wii U. I can't say that, you know, that's, but here's the thing too. Like we got to think about this. When you go back for the launch of the original 3DS, when it first came out, that few months, it sucked. Horrible launch lineup. The price was ridiculous. They eventually Nintendo lowered the price, I believe like 3-4 months later to an okay price. But still that first year, they had horrible games to the 3DS. But what happened now? Look how much they have sold throughout the years, because eventually they got the right games. The device got a lot cheaper and everything.
No, it
so
didn't.
Yes, it did. No, it got didn't. Cheaper mm-hmm. like no, throughout the years. Yeah. The Wii, it got, no, it's now it, you can buy it for $99.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said the Wii U got cheaper. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm gonna shut up. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. I'm talking about the yeah, shut up. No, I'm talking about the 3DS. Like it all depends on Nintendo. Of course, you know, fans like me, Mandy, and other people, yeah, we all going to pre-order and buy it. That's, Nintendo has that. Oh, like, they got that. They got that support. The tricky part is to get people like Paris, like you, that just called, and other people that have been complaining, like, man, I'm eventually going to get one, but I need to see more. I think that send your feedback. It could go through, like, different social media, Twitter, Facebook, and so on. And at the same time, what would your wallet? By you not buying it, Nintendo and even other companies, they want you. They want your money. They want you to become a fan. So the only way for them to do that is through announcements and also making the right moves, man. Making the right moves. If they see that they're not getting a lot of support, then E3 is the only way for them to make a power move to in. Eventually we'll get you guys to buy a Nintendo Switch, you know? So I think right now, yeah, we all have a lot of questions and a lot of crazy ideas and predictions and all that. But honestly, we're not going to know anything until we see results and we see them making announcements later this year. So, and go for it, Paris. Anything else you want
to say? Well, yeah, I would like to say, because see, I think you're looking at this the wrong way. It is not an insult to say that this is a portable Wii U. It is a portable Wii U. And here's why. I'm going to use my kids as the perfect example. We have a Wii U. Guess how they use the Wii U almost 90% of the time? They put it, unless they're playing in a group, but if one of them are playing by themselves, they grab that controller, yeah, they start the game, and they go sit off in another room and play it by themselves with just on the controller screen. And in that sense, that's exactly what Nintendo's doing. They're saying, we're taking that concept that we developed originally with the Wii U controller where you can play the game away from the television, and now we're going to let you go outside and do that. That, if you look at it that way, yes, it's a portable Wii U. This is the next logical step of what the Wii U concept is. Now, I'm not talking about sales numbers and lack of games at launch or any of that stuff, or price even. I'm just saying, when you look at what the Nintendo Switch is at its core, it is the same concept as the Wii U, and Nintendo has evolved it to the point now you can take that console outside with you on the go. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I have a question. Were you a fan of Nintendo 64?
100%.
Okay. So let's go even more back. If you know your history, do you remember how many games launched for the Nintendo 64? Two games.
Yeah.
Remember those two games?
Well, Mario 64 and Pilot Wings, right?
And yep. And that's it.
Yeah. Hey, don't challenge me on the podcast, buddy.
No, but see, like, people think, oh my God, this is the worst launch lineup in history and all this stuff. And like, come on, man. Do your freaking do your research. Trust me, I seen way worse launch lineup than this. This is okay. This is great.
No.
There's a lot of games that I want coming out this year, Paris. Fire Emblem, Xenoblade, Mario Kart, Splatoon, Zelda. In the first year, Paris, come on.
No.
The thing.
No.
You probably are not a fan of a lot of those games, but the majority of people are fans of those games.
No.
Those are great launch
window
titles.
You're basing this off
this of... This is not hopes.
No, listen. Listen. You're basing this off of Nintendo's poor track record of launching games. Like, you bring up the N64. I'm basing this off of, I live in 2017, and the last major consoles that launched did not have this poor of a launch lineup. So my expectations have been raised. This is the point. Go back and look at the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One's launch lineups, and then you tell me that it's okay to see this launch lineup on the Nintendo Switch.
Depends. Are you seeing this only on third party? Because the majority of the games that came out, but how many first party games came out that year?
That's not the point.
You know, answer my question. How many first party games, exclusive games, came out for the Xbox One and also PlayStation 4 that year? The year they came out.
I can't give you the exact number, but there were more compelling games, excuse me, that were exclusive on both systems than just Zelda.
You out of your mind, but okay.
No, but see, we're not going to move on from this one, because you need to understand, as a gamer, I don't need to justify first party versus third party. I need to justify, what the hell am I playing? And you're trying to say, oh, it's okay that Nintendo doesn't have third party at
launch. I didn't say when I say that.
But that's what you're saying. But that's your argument.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying is, because look, let's say it's a Call of Duty game. I could buy it on any other console out there.
You can't on the Switch.
But I'm just saying.
But this is my point.
But Paris, let me finish. God, like, I'm saying that, you know, when I'm buying a product, I'm also thinking about the exclusives, because third party.
Why?
Because.
Why does that matter?
Because to me, if I'm buying a PlayStation 4, I want to get some games that's not available on Xbox, like Uncharted and so on, and that's not available for Nintendo. And that's the thing about Nintendo. They have more first party games coming out this year for launch than the first year that the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One came out, that first year. first party exclusives, and even maybe third party exclusives. No, that was only available for that console. And I think, and it's a fact, you could go check right now, they have more, if Nintendo releases games on time and no delays, then there's more exclusive games coming out for that console than the first year that the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One came out. And it's a fact.
No.
So you could go back over there and cry next to your dog.
No,
right?
Okay.
Four.
Okay. No, you're literally twisting the argument on what I'm trying to say. My point is this. As a gamer, whether I pick up an Xbox, a PlayStation, or a PC, those third-party games, new experiences are going to be available. It is then my choice, if I can only have one console or PC, which one I choose for said exclusive. The point I'm trying to make is with the Switch, you don't get that option. You really only get what Nintendo is able to provide you and some scant third-party support here or there. And my point is, when you look at the launch lineups for the PlayStation, the Xbox, and the Nintendo Switch, or even the Wii U, if you want to throw it in there, Nintendo has historically shown you they can't provide you with quality experiences other than maybe a game or two. Versus if in 2013, if I just got a PlayStation 4, I was playing Killzone at launch, I was playing Battlefield at launch, I was playing Call of Duty at launch, I was playing New Assassin's Creed at launch, etc. There was a multitude of experiences that I could play at launch. Same on Xbox. You had Forza and all the third-party things that came with that at launch. Right. Whereas with Nintendo, I'm getting ARMS and Zelda. Crickets. That's all you get. That's all. That's my only point. And I'm not saying this, oh, I hate Nintendo, or oh, my God forbid. Like I said, I'm eventually going to get one, but I'm not going to sit here and give them a pass on their launch lineup. That's all I'm saying. Because their competition has given me variety where Nintendo does not. Period.
I want to say this very quick for those that are always bringing up this whole power thing and so on.
I didn't say power.
That's not Nintendo style and everything. Do you remember when you go back? Let's go back to, I'm mentioning a lot of like history books and stuff. When you go back, do you remember when the DS and the PSP was coming out around the same time, like around there? Mm-hmm. And what people were saying, oh my God, PSP is going to destroy the DS. It's more power and so on. What happened? The DS just blew up and outsold the PSP by a lot. And Sony has never been a great company when it comes to like handhelds. Yeah, they had some games, unique games available for the PSP and stuff. But I have, looking at the track record, handheld-wise, Nintendo has done an amazing job with their products. Do we agree with that, at least?
100%. They own the mobile gaming market. Yeah. They always have.
Right now, and I understand, Paris, what you're saying. I'm going to wait, and that's fine. I'm supporting you all the way. You know, but I feel that people are just dissing Nintendo too much. And don't get me wrong, there's some moves that they make that I'm like kind of like, what the hell was that about? You know, still like the online service, I'm kind of like iffy about that big time. I have to see. If it's going to be good for me, if I'm going to invest my money on their online service or not. If not, at least I could play local games, not only with myself, but you know, I could play with my family and so on, which is cool. I think that's something that no other company has done so far, like PlayStation and Xbox. You get 8 Nintendo Switches and you go out there and play multiplayer games. Like for now, it's like Mario Kart, 8 people with different Switches that will play and stuff on local wise, you know. So just give it time, man. But at the same time, yo, pulse your feedback big time, man. So, and that's it. That's what I wanted to say, man. That was like a long conversation, man. That was a long conversation, but yeah, man. I love Nintendo 64, but look, man, they only launched 2 games at that time, man. 1996. And it was one of the greatest games for that console, man. So, hello, Zelda 64. Woof, that changed the game completely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, historically, and like I said, let's not get this twisted. I freaking love Nintendo, and I've said when it comes to being a first-party development studio, they are the best on the planet. No one's better because they give us games and experiences that no one else can do. And like you said, I remember, if we really want to take it back, back in 96, I didn't get a Nintendo 64 like right at launch. But I, matter of fact, I had just got married, the whole thing with my wife, we were in Virginia. And I remember I kept hearing about this Mario 64 thing. Dude, you couldn't find a Nintendo 64 anywhere. And
I remember buying it around that time, and it took me forever to find one at a store. So
yeah, we literally in a winter storm, not a storm, but just winter, and it was snowing and everything, up in Virginia, drove all around the state of Virginia till I finally found a Toys R Us that had a Nintendo 64 just because I had to play Mario. And I remember playing Mario for the very first time. I thought that was the greatest thing, the greatest game I'd ever seen, ever. Because think about it. That was the birth of 3D platforming. We'd never seen that before until that game. And it was amazing. And the funny thing about Mario 64, go play it right now. Still holds up. Still to this day. That's just how great of a game it was.
It was very different too, man. Yeah. Super different compared to other. Paris, one thing. I sent you an image there. I want you to see that. It's a comparison with the Switch and also the Wii U. Like the games that's come out for the Switch the first year and this other games that came out for the Wii U eventually. So the first one that's on the list is Zelda. Year 1 for the Switch. Year 5 for the Wii U. Another one is Splatoon. Splatoon on the Wii U came out 3 years later after launch and is available for the first year. Fire Emblem Warriors, which is similar to Hyrule Warriors that came out for the Wii U. Fire Emblem Warriors is coming out this year. It was year 2 that came out for the Wii U. ARMS, which is a new IP. I'm not all that with that game. That one, new IP-wise, year 1 for the Switch. For Wii U, new IP, year 1 was, I believe, Wonderful 101, which is also a great game, by the way. I don't know if you ever had a chance to play that game, Paris. That game is a lot of fun. Mario Odyssey. And also Super Mario 3D World. Great games. The same year of launch of the Switch and the Wii U. Is there any other games here that got your attention too, Paris? Compared to like the launch year one of the Switch and the Wii U?
I mean, let's be honest here. For me,
The only games that
matter for the Switch year one are going to be Zelda and Mario Odyssey that are on this list. The rest of the games, I don't
necessarily. Mario Kart?
I mean, we played on the Wii U. I don't know.
That one came out year 2. This one is coming out year 1.
Yeah. But like I said, we played on the Wii U. So I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. But like,
Xenoblade 2 year 1, Xenoblade for the Wii U year 3. Remember that. Just want to say that.
But you're also comparing this to the Wii U.
So, this is comparison to the Wii U.
I still look at this and I'm not impressed. So, but continue. Go ahead.
Okay, there you go. Well, all right. Should we read one more email? Wow, well, that was like a great debate there, Paris. I like that, man.
Should we read another one?
I'm trying to think.
Should we?
It's a lot of old emails that we have and that they sent us during our break.
Oh, did we ever read this one about the no controller for Scorpio?
Oh, no, we never.
Okay, let me read that one. This will be a good one to go out on to switch it up. Hey, pun intended.
All right.
Hi, GTR. What do you think the chances are that Scorpio will have a controllerless upgrade bundle? I'm laughing. The people buying Scorpio day one are the same people who have an Elite controller. They don't want or need another regular controller. And if it came with an Elite controller, that would drive the price up. No controller, $50 less sounds great to me. Chuck from Erie, Pennsylvania. So, Chuck, thank you for this email. But I have to say, there's no chance in hell that Microsoft is going to put out a console without a controller bundled into it. Because, again, I have to take the case use of my wife. If my wife were to go to Best Buy to buy a console for my kids, and she's like, well, I'm going to get this Scorpion thing. This looks interesting. And then she go, ooh, well, here's the cheap one. This was only $3.99. And then she brings it home and they open it up. And then my son's crying because he doesn't have a controller. They're not going to do that. There's no way. And I get what he's saying. Hey, the hardcore people, hey, they already got a controller. Why bundle one in? They can just use their old controller and that'll let the price of the Scorpio be less. But you also have to remember, there's going to be new people and uneducated consumers out there that will go pick up the cheapest console they see. And then they're going to be upset when they get it home and there's no controller in it. They have to put a controller in it. Just at least one.
Look at PlayStation 4. You bought it, Paris. So imagine you buying that device, that console, and there's no controller. You'll be pissed.
Yeah, agreed.
You'll be super pissed.
Yeah.
But what happened? Sony added that there because you're right. There's consumers out there that don't listen to the podcast. They don't read blogs or anything like that. They don't check out YouTube. They just see, oh, look, it's a console. Let me just buy it. These companies, they have to have the controller attached into the bundle. If not, that would be a major no-no, major mistake for the company, especially for Microsoft that they do that. You know, so.
Oh, can I end on this? Because I forgot to bring this up at the jump. You know, shout out to Michael Pachter. I really wish I could have been on that episode. He was so funny on Twitter.
We're going He's back like, hey, I was asking, he asked actually if we fired you or not.
Yeah. So.
That was funny.
Yeah, it's funny. But yeah, shout out to him just when, you know, he was obviously talking about Scorpio and the reasoning that, you know, he's thinking it'll be $399 and everything. Just for the simple point, like we've been talking about, the Pro is out. It's real. It's there. They're touting it can do 4K. It'll be $350 or less next holiday, right? So yeah. Whether it does native 4K or not, The uneducated consumer just sees the checkmark box that it does 4K. They're going to ask the question when they're standing in Best Buy, why am I buying this Scorpion thing for $500 when this PlayStation thing is $100 or $150 cheaper? Microsoft isn't going to be able to justify that to the average person standing in the store. So, you know, like I said, I'm coming around to that. Yeah, $399 probably makes the most sense. Anything higher, they're going to have trouble justifying that cost. So it makes sense that however they do it, they get Project Scorpio in at $399 somehow, some way. It just makes sense. Anything higher, I won't be shocked, but I'll be curious to see how it's adopted by the average consumer.
Scorpion.
So we're going to end up with that. I think that was a great, great time to just end the show and stuff. So head over to gamertagradio.com. Play that it. /gamertag, listen to our past episodes, and also subscribe, follow us, review us through iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, we're about to wrap this up. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. You know, shout out to Mother Nature. You're undefeated once again because I didn't get to go to the event. But but yeah, man, look forward to Pete coming back on next episode. And dude, get ready. This is the calm before the storm. In about a month, it kicks off. And we're just going to have so many freaking games that we're not going to know what to do with.
Man, are you worried there's going to be too many games and not enough time?
I think there's variety. I don't think there's too many because I think there's something for everyone. I mean, actually, Halo Wars 2 is three.
It's coming up.
Three. Is that 3 weeks?
I'll tell you right now. Hold up. Halo Wars, February 21st.
Okay, so it's a month. It's a month away. Yeah, so it's a month. So, yeah, like I said, Halo Wars 2 pretty much kicks it off. Then you're going to have Horizon Zero Dawn on PlayStation 4. And then we're going to have Ghost Recon. And obviously,
can you believe Mass Effect is a few?
I know, dude. It's crazy. And then the Switch and Zelda and all that's coming. Dude, it's nuts. All the games that are about to come out. Not to mention, I know this isn't video games. Danny, I know you saw it too.
Which one?
That Logan trailer.
Woo!
March 3rd. Oh, my God.
Woo!
That's gonna be so good.
Oh my God, he looks good.
Looks
dark,
real dark, really
tall,
good.
So dark. Oh, wait, question? Your thoughts about the new Power Rangers trailer? I liked it personally.
I think it looks good for the age demographic that they're going after. I just think I'm old and grumpy, so it's not something I like. My son saw it and he was like, "Ah, you know, so he wants to see it. I mean, you know, it'll probably be a good time at the movies, but you know, they're targeting the kids with it for sure. But it looks interesting.
Yeah, but Logan.
Just real quick before we get out of here. Logan, yeah. And I even watched an interview with James Mangold, the director. Logan is the X-Men movie that I've always wanted. It's rated R. It's Logan. It's Charles Xavier. Far future, you know, death is on the table. I mean, Professor X is going to die. We know that. Logan is probably going to die in this movie. They're introducing X-23. And just Wolverine gets to be Wolverine. There's no, it's PG-13. We got to appeal to the kids. Dude, it's going to be violent, dark. It's exactly what I want. I'm very excited for it. I think this is a perfect way for Hugh Jackman to go out.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big one. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So, all right, until next time. See you later this week. We have a couple more surprises coming up. So stay tuned only on Gamertag Radio. Until next time. Peace.
We out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.